Terry Downey comes from Nova Scotia, and she's been with the Human Rights Commission and the Ontario Public Service and the Ontario Federation of Labour, and where she's been involved in health service and social services and equity and fairness and you just name it. And I'm really looking forward. She's going to talk a little bit about her long history of her family and the fact that there's been 400 years of slavery in this country. Terry.
We can trace.
That you can trace, yeah.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good. What a wonderful opportunity, first of all, to come into this great parish, because I'm outside. I remember the days when we were protesting. I don't even remember what, but I think it was something to do with, Aboriginal people's rights. Right? But anyway, I remember being outside and in the mud and all that, but never being able to come into this beautiful place. So I welcome the opportunity to be here tonight and to talk to you about a subject that I love, Black history. As Nancy said, and as my friend said here, one of the most vast places that you will find a rich history of Black people comes from the Maritimes in Nova Scotia. And I don't know how many of you have ever been to the Maritimes. How many of you have been to the Maritimes? How many have been to Nova Scotia? Wonderful, great. When I talk to students here who live in Toronto, and during this time of the year, only a few of them can get to lift up their hands that they've ever been to the Maritimes, because most of us are diverse and we've immigrated. And I've lived here in Toronto, well, it'll be 30 years in another year and a half. And I remember when I first got here, I saw the diversity. I loved it. It was great. Lots of people, more people who looked like me. However, the question that I would get asked, whether it was in a taxi cab, at a union hall, in the workplace, whatever, is, so where are you from? I'm like, oh, I'm from here. And especially taxi drivers, right? And I understand it now. And they say, well, but yeah, but where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from here. And they'd say, but where were you born? I was born here. Oh, but where are your parents from? My parents are from here too. And then they'd actually turn their head and look at me while they were driving, and no accidents, thank goodness, but say, but your parents are from here? I said, yes, they're from here. My grandparents from here. Their grandparents, da-da-da-da. And I said, there are people who have lived, Black people who live like look like me, who have lived in this country for over 400 years. And I'm living testament to that because I am a sixth generation Black, and my children are seventh. I'm going to tell you about one of my children in a minute. But when I was a student, and I won't tell you how many years ago that was, I was never aware of the important contributions that many of folks who looked like me made in our country, or our world for that matter. I didn't learn about the Black role models, doctors, lawyers, politicians, writers, athletes, etc. My parents would tell me a bit, but you know, it would go in one year, but you never saw it. I never saw it on TV. I never saw it in school. So, you know, other than to be around my family, and I'm a military brat, so my Canadian experience compared to a number of my relatives growing up was very different, because my dad was in the Army, and the only thing different than for myself as a Army brat and living in military, the only experience was different was the color of my skin. And my parents, because of who they socialized with and my dad's prestige as a boxer in the Army, I'll tell you about that in a minute, and as a chef because he cooked for prime ministers, generals, etc., and was very well known and respected, my experience was no different than any white child. So I grew up feeling very privileged. And I grew up in a little, town in New Brunswick, Army base called Oromocto, Gage Town. And then my family moved over to Nova Scotia because my dad and my mom were both from Nova Scotia. And that's where his passion lied. That's where his history lied. And that's where he always wanted to be. So eventually we ventured back to Nova Scotia. But through my earlier days, never learning about my history, I always longed to know because I knew it was there. But I never got to know it. I never got to know it until I was maybe in my teenage years as an adult, really what it meant to be from my race and to be a Black Canadian and to see the vast things. And that's because also we moved out of an Army base and more closer to my dad's roots of Halifax, Nova Scotia, where we lived on a base still, but there was more people around, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But I really appreciate opportunities to come like this because it's important. It's important for us to all celebrate our diversities. It's important for people to know the experience of us Canadians as Black and to know that we have made significant contributions to this country, both here and beyond. So let me start. As I said, we've lived here for well over 400 years, but many of us have lived here longer than that. My cousin, who likes to trace our roots, talks about our Aboriginal roots, our First Nation Indigenous roots. And sometimes he tells me, Terry, we're not Métis or whatever. We are First Nations like a lot of Indigenous people because your grandmother was, as they would call it back in the day, Indian, or your grandparents were, because we mixed. Back in the day, those of folks who were Black were segregated into areas in their communities, and the only ones that they were able to mix with was First Nations people. So there was a lot of mixing and a lot of inheriting of our genes. So I can understand sometimes when people say, so where are you from? And they're like, oh, you must be Somalian. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not. But thank you anyway. And then I look at some folks who are from Somalia, and I look at First Nation Indigenous people, and I see the genes, and I'm thinking, that's where they get it from. But that's where my roots are from. And so for well over, in terms of us being able to trace our history, you know, it starts with a white man bringing us here, Matthew DaCosta. But we've lived here, and we've contributed to building roads, building you name it, in terms of what our ancestors did to contribute to the work that did to shape this country. And for some of them, they were able to, you know, become free because racism did exist, still exists, and segregation did exist up until the late 60s. Here in Canada. And so many folks will tell you stories about that. But from the earliest settlers that we know about, that the history books talk about, are Black settlers who came to Canada from Nova Scotia, or to Nova Scotia, sorry. And they came from, as my sister said, they not only just came from the United States, but they came from the West Indies. They came to help build the roads. Not so much, the roads, but the railroads and things like that, because the first known Black person to set foot on Acadian soil was Matthew DaCosta, and he was a free man who was hired by Samuel de Champlain, which everybody knows about him, back in his excursion in 1605. And so I learned about Champlain, but I never learned about Matthew DaCosta. And for those of you who've been to Nova Scotia, I invite you, if you haven't gone, to go to some of the places that are still part of our history and still are authentic in terms of showing you the heritage of Black Canadian people and our roots. Because, hold on for a second, I'm not going to lose my spot. Before I tell you my story, If you go back to Nova Scotia this day, how many know of a community called North Preston? Okay. North Preston was a settlement that was given to folks through Matthew DaCosta and Champlain and building the lands where they, after they built the land, or built, helped build the roads and the land, when they came up from Jamaica and all of the, and the West Indies, they were came up as slaves, but they were promised their freedom, and they were promised that, so they got it. And what happened was, for those who wanted to stay in Nova Scotia, they were given land. They were given land outside of the city. So if you picture Halifax and Dartmouth, Elmira and Carl Harbour Way, there's three black communities, which mainly North Preston remains almost completely 100% a black community, which certainly folks are invited into. But in terms of the people who live there, this, it's pretty much as it would have existed back in the day, except for houses of change, et cetera, et cetera. But going into those communities, they were promised land. They were given the freedom by giving them the land. The land was built around a reservoir, and that water is very valuable to this day, so they'll never give up their land, like what happened in Africville, if you know the history of Africville. But some who felt the winters were too cold decided to go back to Sierra Leone, and there's a whole kind of story about that as well. But for me, as I said, growing up, I never knew about these things until, I guess it would have been the late 70s or 80s, when I was becoming a teenager and learning these things on my own. But my very first, my very first memory of learning about my black history through an incident that happened when I was with my mom. But it still didn't register because my mom, just to backtrack for a second, sheltered her, at that time, three of four children from the whole world of racism and segregation that she grew up in the 40s and 50s. And what happened was we were still a military family living in New Brunswick. My dad had went ahead to Halifax, Nova Scotia, for whatever reason. And so she was left with her three children, all under the age of seven, to get on a bus and then a train. No, first a bus, then a ferry, and then a train to reach Halifax. So we took the ferry from St. John's, New Brunswick, to Digby to catch the train. And there was a stopover. And during that time, it was a bright, sunny day in the summer, and the train station, I guess, was a little bit away from the town. So I recall walking with my mom and my brothers into the town, and my mom was looking for a place for us to go to eat. And I remember my mom making us wait outside in front of a restaurant as she went inside. And when she came outside, she kind of tried to hide back her tears and ushered us away, and we didn't get to eat there. And I don't even remember when we ate. We probably ate on the train. But I didn't know what that lesson was all about until many years later, when I one day was like lots of other people in this country, in the world, watching the movie Roots. Because my mother wouldn't talk about the segregation or the history that she experienced in terms of not going to school and being segregated washrooms and classrooms and all of that. So I did not know that my mom was not allowed, as a black woman, a military black woman, a husband who was serving his country, was not allowed into the restaurant that day. And my mom, being the proud woman that she was, taught us, because she never got to do it, grow up, you're going to grow up, you're going to go to school, and you're going to get your education, just like many other children. Again, I felt no different than my friends, and that was the norm. You were going to school, you're going to get your education. I didn't realize till later that my mom never got to have that experience because she married young. She came from a family of 20 children, and that it wouldn't have been possible for her to get a university degree and go to education, to get her education. So that was her goal and her dream for her children. And, you know, I never, in my experience, I think, let her down in that regard, because my mom died when I was about 20 years old. And I continued to, through the struggles of being a single mom, continue my university education and get my degree, and then move to Toronto with my oldest daughter. Before I talk to you about, and let me know when you want to cut me off, okay? Before I talk to you a little bit about my social activism and how that shapes me as a black woman and why I do that and why I feel I need to do that. As I said, when you go to Nova Scotia, there's lots of areas where you can go and you can see the history of black people and the names. For example, Paris. My mother is from Truro, Nova Scotia. I was always told when I went to Truro, Nova Scotia, as a young woman, you can't date Paris's, Shepherd's, every single black name family in Truro, because they were all related to each other. My mother was a Collins. So somewhere along the line, I'm sure we're related. But that was it. People mingled with each other. There were, in Truro, there were three areas where the black people lived. They lived in the marsh, where there was a swamp area. My grandfather had a home there. My uncle lives there now to this day. They lived around in the island. The island is situated near a golf course. Very valuable land. They'll never give that up. Or they lived on the hill. And the hill is kind of representative of where the chapel is and all that stuff, right? But those were the three places. So if you were going somewhere, you say, oh, I'm going over to the island, right? And you may typically do that where you live in your country as well, right, for those who live in different countries. But here in Toronto, we would never say, well, we're going, we would say what street we're maybe going to, or we're going downtown, but we're going to the island, or I'm going to the marsh, right? That's how people lived. And that never clicked into me, that was the cultural experience of my family, and particularly my mom. My dad, he came from a family of, well, the Downey name. When people ask me my name and say, oh, you're Downey, are you related to so-and-so? I'm like, well, let me tell you, the Downey name in Nova Scotia is like having the name Smith as a white person, because almost, well, thousands of folks have the last name Downey. But my dad grew up in North Preston, where most of the Downeys congregated. But he moved as a young person to Halifax, and he built a home for his family. My grandmother, who I never knew again till I was later in life, originally is from Antigua. And that's a whole story into itself, where my brother has connected us to our Tomlinson's side of the family, because none of us knew. Our only roots were here in Nova Scotia, Canada. We had no knowledge of the fact that there were some folks who had come from the island still, who still lived there. So that's part of what black folks also have to experience in terms of tracing their roots, for those of us who are here in Canada, right? And so my father comes from a family of mainly folks who are, well, there's lots of mixtures in there, but mainly a family of boxers. My dad boxed in the army. He is in the Military Hall of Fame for that. His brother was a Canadian middleweight champion of Canada, and his son, my uncle's son, won a bronze medal in the Seoul Olympics. So the family is rich in that regard, but my also, in terms of our Canadian experience and the pride that I have in the history of my own family, is that, you know, one of my dad's brothers, my uncle, he was the first deputy mayor of Halifax, and to this day, I saw in the news, there's only one young 20-year-old black man who's been elected as a city councillor in Halifax that has come after him. And my uncle, we talk about nightclubs. One of my other dad's brothers, he owned the hottest nightclub, as my brother describes it, east side of Montreal, where he would have entertainers come. It's called the Arrows Club back in the day. He would have entertainers, if you know, from the 50s, 60s and 70s, folks like Lotsa Papa, Teddy Pendergrass, all those kind of hot name black groups from Motown and back in the day, come to Halifax. That was a big deal back then. That was a real big deal because nobody else would bring black entertainers to Canada, in Nova Scotia particularly, right? It happened. The other sort of important history as well is in terms of the contributions is not just through the railroads, but also, again, as I said, my dad was in the military, but his father and his father before him were part of World War II, where they were part of the number 2 construction battalion, which was an all-black military military men who fought in the army. And they were based out of Truro, Nova Scotia. And again, they were segregated from the rest of the folks who fought for their country, but they did just as much in supporting their country as other military folks have done. So I would really encourage you to look up the history of Nova Scotians. And one of the ways that you can do that, a little shameless plug, is, as I said, when I came to to Toronto, I would be asked, where are you from? Well, my daughter, who's now 35, still dating myself again, she is a film producer. And mainly she produces music videos, short stories, so those kind of stuff. But a year or so ago, CBC, who was looking for Canadian content, asked her to do a documentary. And she pitched a documentary about, again, being asked where she's from. And she produced a short documentary called Deeply Rooted. And Deeply Rooted was launched just a week or so ago. You can actually go online and into the CBC website and watch this 23-minute documentary about Deeply Rooted, which will show you more about my family and little clips from me and my experiences. But it tells you the history of Nova Scotians through her eyes. Things like what I just told you about, but also in terms of the segregation that still exists, only because we wanted to, in terms of cemeteries being where we're situated in cemeteries, some of the history of what else has gone on. But it's a really, as I feel, and not only just being proud, that it's my daughter who did it, but it's a really short insight into what it's like to be a black Nova Scotian and not to have been told your story of your history, but to be able to tell the story of who we are now and what we've contributed to Canada and our experiences. So thank you for listening. I hope I shared you a little glimpse of where I came from, how I got to be here, and I'm happy to answer questions later. Thank you so much.